Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied among us by the risen Savior, Jesus himself. Amen. The text for our meditation today is from this epistle lesson, the book of 1 John, chapter 3. And it's really the very first verse of that reading that we heard that Audrey read for us just a minute ago. I'll read it again just briefly because it's very short. In fact, we're going to just be in this one verse until the very end. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. I'll read it again. It's really just the first half of the verse that I read. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. We're going to take a very slow, methodical journey, way through this text, through this one sentence, because there's so much here. But it's going to start with a bang, and it's going to show us something worth seeing, and then it's going to send us out. That's the point today. See, that's the first word, see. It's the second person imperative for you grammarians. I don't know if you consider yourself that or not, but this is a command to look. If you're familiar maybe with the old-fashioned language of the King James Bible, you might recognize that that verse, or this verse, starts with the word what? Behold, that's right, behold, exactly. And maybe you know that song that I knew growing up too. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given to us. You could start singing it probably. Maybe not. Behold, it's a command. It's the command of the angels, really, who showed up when Jesus was born and said, behold. In other words, it means, take a look at this. This is worth your time and your energy. Now, we stop there at this word because it's interesting and yet very difficult for us to behold, isn't it? It's sometimes, I guess, a symptom of a busy person's life that whatever it is you're being asked to look at, you know, someone can ask you all they want, but whether you really look at it or not is up to you. This is going to be your choice. Will you see it or will you not? Or will you maybe take a cursory glance at something because someone is there in front of you and inviting you, and yet your mind is really elsewhere? I pause there because taking pause is really where we begin any significant contemplation. Any significant change in our lives comes because we stop what we were doing first and we look at something worth looking at. Behold, God says through his word, look at this. And that means sometimes putting away all the other things in our lives, our phones, our agendas, even the things which we think are important to share might come second to what God has for us to see here. So behold, what is worth beholding? Look how the sentence unfolds. Behold, what kind of love? What kind of love? In the King James English, what manner of love? And then our curiosity might be engaged. You mean there are different kinds? You mean there are different manners in which to love? And in fact, there are. If you think about the different ways that you express love and communicate love in your own life, you do so with your spouse, if you have one, in a different way than you do so with your children. You do so with the neighbor that you meet, perhaps at the grocery store, different than you do with your best friend. There are different kinds of love. And so we practice different kinds of love, and yet we are all being molded by that chief and most perfect love, which is God's love for us. And this is what we're invited to look at. Behold, what kind of love the Father has given unto us. Given. It's a gift, this love. A gift which keeps unfolding in the mystery of Easter, as we continue to proclaim the risen Jesus, he who was crucified and has risen again, that love, that particular, that historic, that forgiving, that saving love, that transformative love, That's the kind which deserves our attention, which deserves our conversation, which we fixate upon. See what kind of love the Father has given unto us. In Jesus, God has given the ultimate sacrificial and transformative love that the world has sometimes not known. That's where the verse goes. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him, reminding us of the narrative, the context of Jesus in his people, among his people, among his brothers and sisters. They didn't know him. Even his half-brothers, who said sometimes very critical things to Jesus and criticized him, did not recognize who their brother was. I wonder if we have. Or have we sometimes missed it because our eyes and our ears and our hearts are full of other things? Dear friends, the central message of Jesus is that no matter if we have paid attention until now or not, this is the announcement that God has loved us, that he has claimed us as his own, that he has brought us into what he is doing, he has made us a part of his family, and now he calls us his children. I wonder what you get called when someone approaches you, and maybe they know you very well. Your children, what do they call you if you have them? What about nicknames or roles or titles? Does someone call you sir? Does someone call you buddy? Those roles and titles, those means of addressing each other, sometimes they go by just like that in a blink of an eye, and yet there is such significance there, isn't there? When someone calls me pastor, boy, do my ears ever perk up. Usually it means that they're part of our family here at Grace, or maybe at Grace in Drumheller. And if someone has learned who I am because of this relationship, when we sit together, when we stand together, when we praise together, then often they call me pastor, but not always. Sometimes people call me Curtis. And then I also take note. It's interesting. I just can't turn that off. You know, funny things. Lately in basketball, these guys who I play basketball with for the last 3 or 4 years, some of them have started calling me pastor. Now, I never asked to be called pastor, but they know that I am one. And so somewhere, it makes me curious every time I hear it. I wonder, why is he calling me pastor, not just Curtis, or not just, hey, you with the ball? I don't have the ball that much. Maybe that's the reason. It's interesting, isn't it? What do you get called? What are the titles that are applied to you? And most especially now in this verse, then, the significant question is, the point is, what is the title that God applies to you? Daughter. Son. Being called God's children is exactly the point here. And as the apostle writes, beloved, we are God's children now. How can this be, we might wonder? How can this be? Well, it's because he has called you that. He has called you son, my son, with whom I am well pleased. He has called you daughter, my daughter, with whom I am well pleased. Just as he called Jesus that now, by grace, being invited into the family, you also are called son and daughter. I was struggling this week to articulate just exactly why this verse seems so gracious to me. And I think it comes down to adulting. I don't know if you've ever heard that term, adulting. It's a kind of a new verb. An adult is a noun, of course, but if you're asked to adult now, come on, it's time to adult. It means, in other words, grow up. It means, in other words, I think you're not really acting your age. I don't know if you've ever been invited to adult now, but sometimes I get invited to. The reason why I'm sharing that with you is because I think it's interesting. Grow up, we say to each other. Stop being so childish. And it's a good thing to strive to be mature, to strive to learn, and to strive to develop. But what about being children? Those of you who are teachers know that children learn. And perhaps what we're being invited to recognize about ourselves in this verse, as God calls us His children, is that we are not experts yet at this. We are not fully formed. We're on our way, we're getting there, but there is still lots that we have to learn. And dear friends, isn't that a gracious truth? Because if you were experts, then someone would expect you to act like an expert. But since we are children, we have the freedom to enjoy God's leadership, His lordship, and to be growing up in His family as learners of love. How is it that we would learn to love, I wonder? Did anybody ever teach you that? Someone, you know, when I produced those postcards for April, looked at this, the title for today, and they said, "Children in Love." What do you mean, children in love? Children aren't supposed to be in love. That's something that adults do. I wonder if you had that same thought. It made me curious as well, because it made me wonder, who was it that allowed me to fall in love the first time? Or did I just do it? How do you learn to love? How do you learn the skill of loving? Well, it's by experiencing true love, isn't it? It's by seeing a teacher who is able to instruct you in that way, a teacher of selfless, sacrificial love. It's by being loved that we learn this skill. I was watching a teacher recently. My daughter had a science field trip to the TELUS World of Science, and we sat in a classroom, and this wonderful science student was teaching us about light, teaching us about lenses and how some lenses bend light towards the center, a focal point, and some lenses disperse light, and other reflective surfaces will reflect light in various ways. And it was very fascinating. I remembered, as I learned those same things in science myself growing up. But I thought, she's a really good teacher. Because what I was wanting to do and jump up and say, and did you know that light does all these other things too? I was wanting to teach the kids what I knew about light. But she was trying to teach the kids what they would discover about light. And it was really a matter of pace. The best teachers, if you've ever known one, knows exactly what their students are thinking and feeling and what level they're at, and is able to bring them to the next level on that. Not someone who just spouts forth a fountain of knowledge that goes over the heads of everybody, but someone who takes the patience and the time to teach their students as individuals. Good teachers like that are amazing to watch. And I was watching this student teach, and I thought, boy, she has a great future. I wonder if you are a teacher of love. Or do you just go about your business and do it? Or do you crave love, and you're so hungry for it that you feel as though maybe you don't know how to teach it at all? Dear friends, we are God's children now, children of a loving God who has loved us in the ultimate way, flooding our lives with this richness, this generosity. And there is an inexhaustible supply of God's love for you. It will never run out. Therefore, as we, the students in this family of love, learn, you also are invited to teach. And my prayer, dear friends, as we learn this together and learn it from one another, is that Jesus could be our teacher, that could instruct us in His ways. The gracious truth is that we're not experts yet, but He is here among us, and He is teaching us, for we are His children. Amen. And now may the peace of knowing that you have been called a child of God and invited into His family, may that peace guard your hearts and minds for all eternity. Amen.